Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14 now, Monday morning, October 6th. Chance for showers today, but it should all clear out by Wednesday. I think finally is when the sunshine returns. You can get the car washed if that's on your agenda at all. Every Monday with Jeff Palermo's Rouse's Markets Football Monday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. How you doing, Jeff Palermo?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. LSU moves up in the poll, although they didn't do anything.
No, they didn't, but Texas and Penn State certainly didn't do anything either, and that's why they fell in the poll. I mean, Texas and Penn State, two teams that a lot of people thought would compete for a national championship, suffer bad losses on the road, in particular Penn State losing to UCLA, and they were – I think they were like a 25-point favorite on the road in the Rose Bowl, and UCLA got out to a big lead. Penn State tried to come back, but the Bruins ended up holding on to win. And then Texas is just not who I think a lot of people thought. Arch Manning is struggling. He did have a really nice touchdown pass in that game in the Swamp, but Florida took it to Texas. And, you know, Arch is kind of dealing with the same thing in a sense that Garrett is dealing with. Garrett Nussmeier for LSU is just poor play along that offensive line. And it's, I think if you watch that game against Florida, it's just, you know, you could have a really good quarterback and you could have wide receivers and all that. But if the offensive line is not doing its job, it just makes it really tough. And then we also know Florida's defense is really good too. And Florida was coming off a bye. They were ready for that game. And congratulations to Billy Napier. Takes a little bit of the heat off of him. But meanwhile, Texas and Penn State are kind of out of the national champion or out of the college football playoff picture for the moment. And that, you know, LSU's in at number 11 now. So, mm-hmm. And with a lot of games here for the Tigers to really show that they are worthy of being a college football playoff contender.
And that's one thing to get there. You got to stay there, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Tell me about South Carolina. What are we looking at?
Well, this has been a rough season for South Carolina. You think LSU's had trouble running the football. They have really struggled to run the football as well. I was looking at it last night. They're averaging less than 3 yards a carry rushing the football. So they've really struggled there. Lenore Sellers, much like Garrett Nussmeier, came into the season with a lot of Heisman Trophy hype, a potential contender to win the Heisman Trophy. He has not played very well. He's been hurt again. That's been something that's he's had to deal with. And so this South Carolina team, this looked like this was going to be a really good matchup, and it still could. You know, South Carolina was a team that really evolved a season ago and was playing its best football at the end of the year. So it's possible. And they gave LSU a big scare when the two teams met last year in Columbia, South Carolina in September. Now LSU and South Carolina are two teams that are really trying to you look at this game, the winner is really trying to get their season off to a get their season going into the right direction with a win coming up on Saturday.
Tell me about LSU's offense and how they might be able to get healthy against South Carolina.
Well, we'll hear from Coach Brian Kelly today, but going into this past weekend, we knew that there were a couple of offensive linemen banged up. Weston Davis was in concussion protocol. Paul Mabanga dealing with a sprained ankle, and so you had Cohen Echols I mean, he finished out the game the week before against Ole Miss. So it's hard to say if Mbenga will be back. This was also a weekend. Aaron Anderson, I know you're asking about the offensive line, but Aaron Anderson, LSU's top wide receiver, had a litany of different kinds of bumps and bruises and injuries and sprains and all this kind of stuff. This week off really probably benefited him as well, and we know it should benefit Garrett Nussmeier too. I mean, he wasn't, according to Brian Kelly, he was taking mental reps during the week. Michael Van Buren was running the first team offense as they were trying to let this ab strain calm down a little bit, get a little healthier, and so we'll see if it results in a better look, better performing offense coming up on Saturday night against South Carolina.
What do we know about Caden Durham?
Well, Caden Durham, according to Coach Brian Kelly, he was looking really good during the middle of last week, or he certainly seemed like he had turned a corner. I think they feel a lot better about his chances of playing. That's a big boost. I mean, LSU needs that. This is a guy that they anticipated, you know, giving the football to, I think, 15 to 20 times and being a guy that can, you know, average you 4.3, 4.5 yards a game and every now and then break a long one. And so far they haven't been able to get that out of him. And again, this is a guy that's really relies on his speed. And we saw it last year when he had a couple of dislocated toes. He really wasn't the same running back as he was when he broke out against South Carolina last year. And you really don't want to hear about a leg injury, a foot injury, ankle injury, or anything like that with this guy, because speed is such a big part of his game. So hopefully he's feeling more rested, and that injury, that sprained ankle has really subsided by now.
Well, let me take a break. We'll talk about college football in general as well as LSU. When we come back, Jeff Palermo, our guest, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, 504-260-1870. That is the Oakland Art Jeweler talk and text line if you have any questions or comments, but no texting and driving. 720 traffic now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, every Monday with Jeff Palermo is Rouse's Market Football Monday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of LSU. So when it comes to LSU and South Carolina, what kind of feeling do you get as of this moment, Jeff? What are the odds makers saying?
Well, as far as what the odds makers are saying in this one, LSU comes in to this contest, you know, both of these teams are, as we talked about in the last segment, you know, kind of struggling, finding their ways at this moment. But still, LSU's a heavy favorite to win this game. I mean, they're a 9.5-point favorite. Now, it's interesting that the over-under on this game is 44.5. So the odds makers are looking at this one to be a pretty low-scoring game. I mean, when you look at what's happened so far this season to South Carolina, they beat Virginia Tech, who has since fired their head coach. They beat South Carolina State, which and they only beat them by 28 points. And that game actually was, if I remember correctly, was close there for a long time. They got blown out by Vanderbilt. Missouri handled them, but Missouri's having a really good season. And they beat Kentucky, who is honestly probably the worst team in the Southeastern Conference. And this really starts a very difficult stretch for South Carolina. I mean, after they play LSU, they have four. This is just how tough the SEC is, Tommy. They have four games against teams ranked in the top 10. I mean, they play Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I mean, four teams that could certainly be in the college football playoff. And this is why this league is just so difficult. And the days of, you know, what we saw even just a couple years ago, I guess it was maybe 2021, when Georgia was so dominant, or those years where Nick Saban was so dominant with Alabama, or heck, even the 2019 LSU football team. Those years where teams just run through this league and win by double digits every time and go 12-0, it is so tough, because I just think there is just so much more parity, and it's harder to build depth now because of the transfer portal. So South Carolina about ready to go through a gauntlet of really good SEC teams, and it starts Saturday night in Death Valley against a rested LSU team. Now, South Carolina is also coming off a bye as well, but again, it's just this is a tough stretch for them, so they got to come out and somehow figure out a way to get a win at LSU.
Somebody yesterday told me, I was having a conversation with him, an LSU fan now, keep this in mind, and they said that they thought Garrett Nussmeier was overhyped, that he was not an elite quarterback. Thoughts?
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he threw for over 4,000 yards last season, and that's really, really good. I mean, that's very good. Now, I know there were fans that said that Joe Burrow wasn't very good after his first season, or Jaden Daniels wasn't that great. Even during the first part of his Heisman season, I think after that Florida State game, I think when LSU got blown out in Orlando by the Seminoles, there were LSU fans wondering if he was really the guy. He hasn't played to the level that he can play yet. I'll say that. Whether he's overhyped, overrated, there's a lot of
or
quarterbacks
injured.
Right now that are struggling in college football.
Or injured. Keep that in mind, too. You don't know. Yeah. We don't know. And I was talking about that yesterday as well, that you know sometimes we watch games and we start getting on players. I don't, but some people do. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know if the guy's fighting this, fighting that. If anything, he deserves a trophy, and you're booing him when, in fact, he's playing hurt, and you don't know that, right?
Yeah, no, that's a big part of this, big part of it as well. So
if you're playing,
let's see. Hopefully we'll see the real Garrett Nussmeier this Saturday.
On October 6th, if you're playing NFL or SEC football, you're hurt. I guarantee you that in one way or the other. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. We'll take a break, come back, get you some financial insights you can count on with Jason Shield, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Right now we pause for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 157 pounds of fun to be exact, 7:45, quarter till 8. Time now for Bank On It, financial insights you can count on with the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, Jason Shields, and we welcome him in now. How you doing, Jason?
Doing good, Tommy. How are you this morning?
I'm okay. Saints won yesterday, so how bad can it be, right?
Yeah, Saints won. LSU went up without even playing a game. It's a good weekend.
Yeah, unless you're a federal employee or you're dealing with the government shutdown. Let's talk about that from the financial perspective, Jason.
Yeah, Tommy. I was hoping that, you know, something would have happened over the weekend and I could have changed my topic and we could have talked about LSU and the Saints, but unfortunately it did not. So we're on day 6 of the ongoing government shutdown. And so I wanted to talk not necessarily about the political aspects of it, but the financial aspects of it, because I don't think that gets a lot of coverage in the stories that are going on right now. So just a little bit of background. This is since 1980, this is only the 11th total government shutdown that we've had, right? And where this one currently ranks at 6 days is the fourth longest. So you can see you're starting to get into a bit of an unusual territory here when you're talking about the fourth longest since 1980 already, and it's only been a few days. Mm-hmm. But the longest one happened back in 2019. That was the one that was for 35 days. And the Congressional Budget Office, they did a study after the shutdown to basically say what was the impact. And the impact of those 35 days that the government was shut down was about an $11 billion impact to the U.S. economy, or roughly $300 million every single day that the government was closed. Now, of that $11 billion, a lot of people like to say, that's fine. Once the government opens back up, we'll go ahead and just get all of that back. Mm-hmm. Well, what they found was $3 billion of that was never recovered. And this is from the Congressional Budget Office. This isn't me running numbers. So this is the actual government saying, this is what a government actually, a shutdown will actually cost you. So the one thing I wanted to touch on first was federal paychecks. So this week is kind of a crucial point in the shutdown, because if a funding bill is not done and the government doesn't come back up and running, this will be the first paycheck that furloughed workers will not receive. And so a lot of impacts there, right? A lot of these government workers run paycheck to paycheck, and so they're going to start having issues being able to pay their bills, possibly get groceries, all of those things. And that's when it starts to get real. And so essential workers, TSA, air traffic control, law enforcement, all of those folks still have to report to work. But as you can imagine, I'm pretty sure their mood will not be too exciting if they're worried about paying their bills. And so this is a real thing, right? And so what I want anyone who's a government worker to kind of understand is, if this does run through this week, next week, you should reach out to your creditors and you should have some conversations with them. Don't wait. Even though your back pay is guaranteed, you don't want late fees or anything like that to assess. So start assessing your situation now. Find out when your bills will be due. And just have those conversations with your creditors.
I think that's very important information, Jason, which is, talk about it. Make sure you call them, communicate with them. Don't just say, well, I presume they know that I'm a federal employee and blah, 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 right? I mean, you got to take the onus upon yourself to call them and let them know what's going on.
That's it. Yeah. And obviously this is a pretty big situation. Everybody knows what's going on, but you don't want to do it after the fact, have to get late fees waived, have to get delinquencies removed. Not that we've reached that point, but it's just so much easier to just get in front of it now and have those conversations. So the other thing I want to talk about, and this is a pretty localized issue to us, but an important one, when the government shuts down, the flood insurance, NFIP, is lapsed. And so what that means for everyone is that you're not able to get new flood insurance policies. Or, and this is a big or, if your policy comes up for renewal during the shutdown, it technically isn't renewed. Your policy does lapse because you can't get a renewal done. Now, renewals aren't necessarily a big issue, because historically they've always backdated the renewals of the flood insurance policies. You'll have a lapse, but your exposure is not big. But where the new ones come into problems is, if you're trying to buy a house, if you're trying to refinance and increase your insurance or anything like that, you're kind of stuck because you can't get new flood insurance right now. And so a lot of people have asked me last week, okay, well, I need to close this loan because I have a contract or whatever it is. Now, the answer to that is, it's slightly complicated, Tommy. Unfortunately, because this has happened 11 times since 1980, the government has actually given us banks guidance on how to handle this. And we can close loans in a flood zone without flood insurance, but there's a couple extra steps we have to take. And some banks will, it's a completely optional thing. Some banks are allowed to do it and some banks aren't. So what I would advise everyone who's listening is, if you're in a situation where you have a closing coming up or you're trying to increase your flood insurance, anything like that, have a conversation with your lender, because there are avenues that you can do to still close your loan. And a good lender will have that conversation with you and talk about, these are the positives, these are the negatives. But if you do choose to move forward, you're going to do it without flood insurance. So you're going to be exposed a little bit. And that's one of those things that people just kind of need to understand as they go into that.
Okay, let's talk about some other effects that they're going to have on like, I guess, economic data.
Yeah. So this one's big. So because the government shut down, a lot of that data that the Fed uses to determine interest rates isn't going to be available, because they're just not going to produce the reports, right? No jobs data, inflation data, GDP reports. And you heard me say any number of times on the show, Tommy, that the Fed is incredibly data-based, right? They base their decisions on data, not on feel, not on anything like that. Now, we know that the Fed is in a bit of a loosening mode right now, but of course, it's kind of dependent on that jobs data and that inflation's data. So the Fed's meeting again in a few weeks, in October, October 28th. If the government's not back up by then, there's a real potential they're not going to do anything with the rates, just because of lack of information. And history has kind of shown that, right? During the 2018 shutdown, the Fed basically said they were getting into quantitative easing, but then while the data wasn't there, they basically said, look, we're flying blind, their quote, not mine, and we're not going to do anything right now until the government's back up and we have our data. So this is going to get really interesting really quick if this was to continue to go on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how do you see this playing out?
I tend not to get into the political side of it, Tommy. I would hope that both sides of the aisle see the financial impacts. They read that congressional
report. But I meant financially, Jason. How do you see it financially playing out?
Financially, look, Tommy, if this ends in the next week or so, we'll completely recover. It's a blip, and we just talk about it in history and say, okay, that, you remember that time it happened. Mm-hmm. If this runs out for a few months, if this becomes longer than 30 days, every week of the shutdown can result in about a 1 basis point, 0.1% GDP loss. Again, so you can see if this was to go on over time, this could have some serious impacts on GDP. It could have impact to rates. It could have impact to inflation. Because not just the government workers aren't the only ones impacted by this, right? A lot of businesses have contracts with government programs that get paid by the government, right? So you do work for a federal program, grant, what have you, street construction, things of that nature. Those folks aren't getting paid either. And that's a trickle-down effect, Tommy. That's going to impact people's ability that aren't federal workers to receive pay. It's going to impact their ability to spend money in the local economy. So not being doomsday-ish, right, but these are real things. And if this does go on potentially for 30-something days, I think we're having a different conversation as opposed to, okay, we had that, we came to an agreement, and we're moving on.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the time and the information as always. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Bank on it, some financial insights you can count on from Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. 7:54 and a half. Time for traffic, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.